country. So I'm sure they appreciate your input. We thank you so much for your time.
Good to talk to you, boys.
I'm Sarah Warmby. The biggest swing in Australia's political history has landed the nation with its second minority government in just over 8 years. Independent Karen Phelps achieved an unprecedented swing of more than 20% against Liberal candidate Dave Sharma in Malcolm Turnbull's former seat of Wentworth yesterday. Dr. Phelps has promised not to let the voters down.
It's a credit to the people of Wentworth that they saw through the tricks and they saw through the nastiness and they saw through, you know, the major campaign machines of the big parties, and they recognised that this was a grassroots campaign that was speaking to them.
And in his concession speech, Mr. Sharma paid tribute to Dr. Phelps.
She ran a very good campaign. She's a formidable Australian and has given much to Australia, and I hope and trust she will be a good local member for Wentworth, and whatever I can do to support her in that role, I will.
Victoria Cross recipient Ben Robert Smith has come out swinging against Fairfax Media after the news organisation raised fresh allegations about his time serving with the Special Forces in Afghanistan. The ex-soldier in mid-August launched defamation proceedings against Fairfax and three of its journalists, arguing articles about potential war crimes in Afghanistan and separate allegations about domestic violence were false. The 39-year-old said he was very confident Fairfax would eventually have to apologise. Women with asthma are being urged to take action to manage the condition following the release of new figures. The latest data from the Australian Bureau of Statistics showed there were a total of 441 asthma-related deaths across the country last year. 300 of those were females. Dr. Jonathan Burden from the National Asthma Council says they're especially concerned about women in their 50s and 60s, where the death toll doubled.
Certainly in the age group where they are juggling a lot of responsibilities, and women tend to be looking after the family and others rather than looking after themselves. And my message to them is look after yourself first.
A man has been killed by lightning at a racecourse in central western New South Wales as storms hit the state. Emergency services were called to Comabello Road near Dubbo just after 2 yesterday afternoon following reports a man had been struck by lightning. Paramedics assessed the 53-year-old, but he died at the scene. Overseas, a senior official in Turkey's ruling party says Turkey will never allow a cover-up of the killing of Saudi journalist Jamal Khashoggi in Saudi Arabia's consulate in Istanbul. The deputy head of the Justice and Development Party's pledge comes after Saudi Arabia announced hours earlier that the writer died during a fistfight in its consulate. The announcements in Saudi state media came more than 2 weeks after Khashoggi entered the Saudi consulate in Istanbul for paperwork required to marry his Turkish fiancée and never came out. And India's railway officials and local community leaders have traded blame over an accident in which a train ran over scores of people gathered on the railway tracks for a festival in the northern city of Amritsar. Punjab State's Chief Minister says 59 people died with 57 injured in the accident and that an official inquiry would be carried out over the next 4 weeks. This is Air News. Melbourne City have trumped Kasuki Honda and Melbourne Victory in their A-League derby duel, coming from behind with the help of VAR to win 2-1. Richie Delatt scored an equaliser after Honda's opener, and Riley McCree struck a late winner to settle an enthralling contest last night at Stocklands. The Kangaroos have beaten Tonga 34-16 in their historic rugby league test at Mount Smart Stadium in Auckland. Skipper Boyd Cordner says despite the win, there's still work to be done.
It's a new little team and it's taken us a while to gel, and I think that showed a fair bit. You know, as time goes on, we'll get better as a group, and yeah, we just need some more time together and some more games.
A century from captain Meg Lanning has spearheaded Australia's crushing 150-run one-day international victory over Pakistan in Malaysia. Australia can complete a clean sweep on Monday before the focus switches to a three-match T20 series, which gets underway on Thursday. Home favourite Daria Kasatkina has roared back from a set and 4-1 down to win the Kremlin Cup in Moscow, denying Tunisian qualifier Ons Jabeur a first WTA title for her country. And world number one Gabriel Medina is a step closer to a second surfing world title after eliminating Australian Matt Wilkinson in the quarterfinals of the Rip Curl Pro Portugal. Australian Independent Radio News.
With 150 years of expertise, the specialist team at HQ Insurance are passionate about horses and privileged to be an integral part of the bloodstock industry. HQ Insurance, the headquarters of Equine Insurance. Find us at hqinsurance.com.au or call 8913 1640.
90 footy legends, six teams, playing for over $100,000 in prize money and raising money for the Mark Hughes Foundation. The Legends of League return. One action-packed day of old-school rugby league. Come marvel at the skills of household names. Menzies, Baderas, Hindmarsh and Saylor. Saturday, November 17, Central Coast Stadium. Get your tickets now for the Legends of League from Ticketek.
Stratum Star, a dual Group 1 winner from coast to coast.
Stratum Star's hit the front, he's won it.
You see him in the yard, he's a beautiful horse, and he's tough, he's sound, he's got everything you want in a racehorse, so I'm sure he'll make a great stallion.
But Stratum Star on the back up, he's too good.
He's just got the best attitude, he's really the perfect horse, really.
Stratum Star, by a Golden Slipper winner and champion sire of two-year-olds. Standing at tremendous value this season for $11,000, including GST. Visit Wydon.com.
What a performance. Mark Leishman wins the CIMB Classic, and he wins it easily.
BitSolution jumps. Holmesman stretching every sinew. Photo BitSolution's won it. BitSolution beats Holmesman the Cliffs of Moher.
Kimbrel deals in the air.
Pakistan win by 374 runs.
Ankovic throws it across. There's a chance, and the equaliser arrives through Adam Lafondra. Adelaide have conceded when really they didn't look likely to at any point in this game.
McLean, they're running it early in the count.
Tedesco through. James Tedesco. Tavares with that pace. Tavares scores. Back time.
On Sky Sports Radio, welcome to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock, over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith. Here's your hosts, Jimmy Smith and Ray Thomas.
I hope you're having a great start to your Sunday morning. It is the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, and it's a little bit different today. I'm here in the studio in Sydney, and Raymond, are you with us? I can see you. Can I hear you from Melbourne? Good morning, mate.
Yeah, good morning, Jimmy. Good morning, everyone. I can't see you, Jim, which is probably a good thing for you, not a good thing for me.
Oh, so you're not bad.
When I wave at you, that means I want to try and chime in if possible. But have a great day at Caulfield yesterday, Jimmy, despite the weather. And, gee, it was cold, I've got to tell you.
Well, that's Melbourne for you, Raymond.
The day before was beautiful, but yesterday a cold day. But the racing was certainly pretty hot, and did we see a portent of things to come with the international raiders, Jimmy? Three of the first four home in the Caulfield Cup, trained in the Northern Hemisphere. The winner was Best Solution for Godolphin, Saeed Bin Saror. Are they finally about to lift our Melbourne Cup, Jim?
What is it, 187 Group 1s worldwide? Been elusive for them. It's been the Melbourne Cup, a couple of seconds, a couple of thirds. Haven't been able to do it, but this is a very good horse in Best Solution. My question to you is this. You mentioned it. Three of the top four in the Caulfield Cup internationals, and you know we celebrate how international the Melbourne Cup is. A week out from the Everest, where there was only the one international, and it was a huge betting medium. And I know we say it every year, Raymond, but how hard is it for punters to line up the form of these international horses? Some of them unexposed form too in this country. It just makes it so difficult from a betting point of view.
It does, and be prepared, Jimmy, because at least half the Melbourne Cup field this year, I dare say, will be horses trained out of the Northern Hemisphere, and most of that contingent won't have run prior to the Melbourne Cup.
Yeah.
Obviously, those horses out of the Caulfield Cup yesterday, at least we've seen them now. Best Solution, he's got 57.5 at the moment in the Melbourne Cup. It's widely tipped. He'll get about a kilo penalty tomorrow, which should take him up to, obviously, 58.5. That's a lot of weight in the Melbourne Cup, Jim.
Yeah, and that's going to be the difficulty for them. The other big news that's happened overnight, well, there's been plenty of big news that's happened overnight, and I want to get to the Australian cricket side very, very shortly too, and I know you'll have an opinion on that one, Raymond. We've had Australia take on Tonga in the Rugby League, a historic first test match, and they've taken a bit of a price cut to play the match. But, wow, what about the scenes? I don't know how much you saw of it down there in Melbourne Town, but 26,214 supporters, and I reckon 26,200 of them were Tongan supporters, crammed themselves into Mount Smart Stadium. In the end, the Kangaroos too strong, 34 points to 16. But the atmosphere, Raymond, just incredible.
I saw a bit on the news, Jimmy, and I've read a lot about it, and apparently the singing from the Tongan supporters. Some people said they've been to test matches, rugby union test matches in Wales, where the Welsh are famous for singing. But yesterday, the Tongan crowd, the hymns they were singing, apparently even sung the Australian National Anthem as a show of support, and it would have been great scenes. How did the Kangaroos play, Jim?
Played pretty well. James Tedesco, outstanding. They really bounced back from that disappointment from the week before. Tonga made it difficult for themselves, turned over a lot of footy. But there, at one stage in the second half, they didn't have the ball, the Kangaroos, for 10 minutes.
Yep.
Six dropouts in a row for Tonga. So that showed the bit of poise that they had, especially after losing their halfback at Ahingano. The fact that they can come up and be competitive against a Tier 1 side means that Tonga as a Tier 1 side, or the status as a Tier 1 side, should not be far away. The problem, well, not the problem, the issue, the challenge, the opportunity is what next? How do you get more of that footy out of Tonga, and how do you make it commercially viable as well?
Well, that was my next question, Jimmy. The funding, that apparently is the big challenge for Tonga, and I guess for Fiji and all that, Samoa even, Jimmy. How are they then funded on an international level so they can become competitive and sustainable?
Well, here's the question, Ray. If the Kangaroos don't have to take a pay cut for the game against New Zealand and they draw 12,000 people, but they do have to take a pay cut for the game against Tonga, which draws 26,000 people. Surely there's an imbalance there. Something, you know, I know broadcast goes into this, and I know that the NRL's been asked to do a lot of things from a money point of view.
Yeah.
But gee, that, surely the numbers stack up there. Surely, well, even just from a live element.
And at the end of the day, isn't it great for rugby league that these fringe nations are not only competitive, but they can put on teams that can test the Kangaroos, who were supposedly the world's best. So surely whatever the NRL can do to assist the international game and grow it, they have to do it. And if it means funding these fringe nations until they can stand on their own two feet, that's not such a bad thing, Jim.
Growth of the game can come in many forms, Raymond. Who'd have thought that it was going to be the international game that could grow it, as opposed to the NRL itself? We'll take your thoughts on that, everyone, too. 1353 53 is the open line number. Get us on the SMS as well, 0419 767 272, and of course the tweets, get them coming through at Big Sports WEND. The Australian cricket side, their second match under Justin Langer, Raymond, disaster. All out 164 in the second dig. No heroics from the first test. Usman Khawaja didn't bat. 8 wickets for Nathan Lyon for the match. That was probably the positive out of that game. Mohammad Abbas gets man of the match and man of the series.
Reverse swing, Jim.
Pfeiffer and Pfeiffer. But this is where the difficulty comes for Justin Langer, Raymond, and I'll get your thoughts on this. Sean Marsh, averaging 8.8 in his last 10 digs. Mitch Marsh, averaging 10.4 in his last 10 digs for Australia. And, of course, you've got the former West Australian coach, who's now taken over and clearly has a lot of loyalty to those two players.
And understandably so. But isn't it strange, Jimmy, that quite often we talk about Sean Marsh and Mitch Marsh, and just when you think they're about to be or deservedly get dropped, they come out and score a big 100. So look, will they be there for the first test in the summer series against India? I don't know. They need to score runs. Look, to be fair to Australia, losing Usman Khawaja with that knee injury, couldn't bat in the second innings. That was almost game over, wasn't it? Because he batted so well in the first test and effectively saved that test match for us. And going into that series where we're traditionally very vulnerable against teams like Pakistan over there in Dubai and the UAE, without Smith and Warner, Jim, that was the key. And we just didn't have the batting to support them. When you lose effectively two of the world's top five batsmen out of your top six order, you're going to really struggle, aren't you?
Well, they could do something about that. We've talked about that, Raymond. That's up to Cricket Australia. They've got a new CEO there in Kevin Roberts. I wonder whether he'd be prepared to wade in there and change some of the decisions that were made by previous administrations. We'll have to wait and see on that one.
You want them back for summer, do you?
Don't you?
Absolutely. But what are you saying, that overturn that decision and bring them back?
Well, I think it's ridiculous that the decision was made in the first place, and we've talked about that a lot on this program. So over to you, Cricket Australia.
Can't see it happening, Jim.
No, it probably won't. Mm. Just because it doesn't happen doesn't mean it shouldn't.
Not true. Yeah.
Now, the other thing that's happened over the course of the night, Raymond, is Jose Mourinho, who... they've been under a bit of pressure, our Man United team, and they were leading 2-1 against Chelsea. Late in the match, they get the equaliser, Chelsea, and we've got an... he was a trainer, or I don't know exactly what he was, but he's run past Jose, and he's done a little fist pump. Ha-ha, we got you. Well, Jose hasn't appreciated that at all. Bounces out of his seat. If you haven't seen it, get online and check it out. Bounces out of his seat and has to be restrained by a number of stewards from going up the tunnel and taking on the Chelsea trainer. So, massive blow up there. Big story over there in the EPL. Mm. By the way, your boys got lucky too against Huddersfield, 1-0.
Doesn't matter. Runs on the board up to equal top again with Man City. What does that say about Jose Mourinho? Obviously, as you said, Jimmy, he's a man under pressure. But
yes,
the volatility, he's combustible, isn't he?
Always has been. I think probably a little bit more so now, but... as a result of that, it's given us our talk topic. We love our talk topics. Come from anywhere, but blow-ups. Pitch side blow-ups, on-field blow-ups, player, coach, we don't care, administrator. Any of the blow-ups that you've seen over the course of the years, we'll give away a couple of tickets today. Oh, actually, we've got Event Cinemas tickets, 10. I should have told you that. Producer Tan's here. Prakash has been fantastic. He sent them through during the course of the week. But we'll give something away. We've got Sony Music CDs, and we might even find a cap of some description if Raymond hasn't taken all the Godolphin caps. They're back in favour at the moment.
Yeah,
exactly, following the win of Best Solution. Raymond, do you have a pitch side blow-up that was familiar to you?
Does this count, Jim? My little one, it was, when was it, 91, I think, or 92, Mike Tyson v. Evander Holyfield for the World Heavyweight Boxing Championship, and Mike Tyson's completely lost his rag, twice bit Evander Holyfield's ear, took a chunk out of his ear at one stage.
Yes.
And then all hell broke loose during and after when they said game over. Does that count, Jim?
Oh, absolutely. I think it was late 90s, too. I think it was 98. Evander Holyfield versus Mike Tyson. And, I don't know what was going... Well, there was a lot going on in Mike's life at the time, and he wasn't responding to the pressure in perhaps the fashion he should have, so he decided to bite his opponent's ear. Absolutely crazy, and pandemonium ensued. Mm. But, that's a blow-up. Mine was, Gus Gould. The great coach of the Roosters at the time, 1995.
The Brookie Oval incident, is that the one?
Brookvale Oval up against the Manly Seagulls. And Manly had won 15 on the trot. They were bearing down on a record that had been held by Jack Gibson's Roosters side. Still holds, actually. 19 straight wins. And for weeks leading up to it, Gus kept saying, we're going to be the first team to beat them. We're going to be the first team to beat them. We're going to beat them at Brookvale Oval. Well, we led 19-4.
Were you playing that day, were you, Jack?
Yeah, I was playing that day. Sean Garlick was captain. At one stage, Ronnie Palmer ran out and said to Sean Garlick, we were leading 19 points to 4. Well, they were getting back into the game 19 points to 10. I think it ended up 16 points to, 21-16. Ronnie Palmer came out and said, Sean, take the team off the field. Sean said, what? He said, Gus said to take the team off the field. He said, we're leading. He said, doesn't matter. Get them off. Anyway,
did you know that What did the players say when you heard that?
I had no idea that it was happening at the time. Had no idea that it was happening, but found out all this after the match. Gus was strolling up and down or stomping up and down on the sideline, waving his arms demonstratively, all going on. There's great vision of it. Apparently, Dave Gillespie, who, of course, knew him from the Bulldogs and had played with him and had played for him, said, "Hey, Gussie, what's happening?" There's Gus flailing arms going everywhere. I think he was asked to go back to his seat. The referee on that occasion was a bloke named David J. Raymond? David
okay.
J.
And gee, I don't, that's a blast in the past.
Yeah, and I don't know whether it was Bob Fulton or Phil Gould. David J. never refereed another NRL game. So there you go. Massive blow-up.
Can you recall the day? If you're up 19-4, what was Gus's issue? Or 19-10, what was his issue?
Oh, refereeing.
But you're in front.
I understand that, Raymond. Yeah. I understand that. But there was just a blow-up. Anyway, we hung on for a famous victory. And the winning streak was stopped. So there you go. The pitch side blow-ups after Jose Mourinho has had one up at Old Trafford this morning. We'll take those as our talk-back topic for today. 1353-53 is the open line number. It's 20 minutes past 7. Big Sports Breakfast disjointed this morning. Raymond down in Melbourne. I'm up here in Sydney, and we're looking forward to taking your calls. 1353-53.
It's Brett Ogle here. Look, Drummond Golf has asked me to do a world first on radio, a 15-hour commercial where I read out their entire stock list to prove that only Drummond Golf has a range that includes all the famous brands in bags, clubs, buggies, balls, shoes, clothing and accessories. But like you, I'd rather be out playing golf. So if anyone from Drummond Golf asks, can you tell them you heard the 15-hour ad and it was fantastic? Thanks.
Punters, we bet you. You can't find a better betting app than the Tab app. With more live Sky Racing than any other app, exclusive race previews and the biggest range of race replays on offer, you have everything you need to give you the best betting experience all in the palm of your hand. Plus, enjoy access to detailed form, cutting-edge data and expert analysis from the best in the business. Download the Tab app today and stay ahead of the game. Tab. Terms and conditions apply. See tab.com.au. Gamble responsibly.
It's somewhat from Happy Clapper. It's somewhat a length clear from Happy Clapper. It's somewhat hanging on. He wins the Doncaster, a half length to Happy Clapper.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
And welcome back to the show with Jimmy and Ray. James, is it that time of the show for race replays?
Yeah, it is. But just sorry, mate, remiss of me. Adrian Bott very shortly. Michael Hawkes after that as well. We'll have Michael Carrianis live from Auckland. Jim McGrath as well as the representative of Godolphin. Event Cinemas quiz. Score update?
I've forgotten. Is it 24-17, James?
Correct.
Okay.
It's amazing how you forget so well, but anyway, there
almost,
we go.
It's game over, and it's game over.
Phil Moss after the controversy of round one of the A-League. Trent Lanscale, who I believe has slept overnight down there in Melbourne. If I was you, I'd be very, very careful of that man.
He's
Raymond.
A good man, Trent. He got me into the building, so I've only got good things to say about the great man.
And our legend of the game today, the legendary Shane Gould.
Wow.
The legendary Shane Gould is a 15-year-old. She won 3 gold medals, a silver and a bronze at the 1972 Munich Olympics. Everyone knows her from Survivor now. Apparently she was a swimmer beforehand, Ray, is that right?
She was. You know, she's still the only person, male or female, to hold the world records at every distance from 100 metres to 1500 metres freestyle.
She's the Farlap of Kingston Town of swimming.
Phenomenon. And retired after the 72 Munich Olympics at the peak of her powers, or potentially could she have got even better. Anyway, we'll talk about that later. Hey, James, with a few SMSs I've been able to log on. This is from Wayne. Hi, boys. What did you think of the one-lane highway at Caulfield yesterday? That track was a disgrace. Well, the Caulfield Cup was probably, I guess, exacerbated by the fact there was no tempo, Jim. So those up on speed, it was a stop-start race. I listened to Kieran McAvoy talk to the connections of Youngstar after the race, and you could hear the frustration in his voice because back in the field, because of the stop-start tempo, they were getting on heels, they were checking off, they were getting out of rhythm, out of balance, so it certainly didn't help. I still think the European stays are just too good for us, Jim.
Very slowly run Caulfield Cup. No other runners really made up ground. So how can that be a useful Melbourne Cup guide? No name on that SMS.
That's a very good point. Because of that lack of tempo, I've earned 2:33 and change, Jim, for the 2,400 metres, which is slow even with the sting out of the track, but certainly a lot slower than the 225s, 226s that they can run on a firm track. Hey, Jimmy, racing at Randwick yesterday, the last stakes races of the Spring Carnival, there were some really good performances, particularly in the opener. This is She Will Rain's little half-brother. His name is Time to Rain.
It's Time to Rain, swinging in front by a half length and Evening Slip is being felt for. Three lengths clear from Bivouac. Absolute Control being scrubbed up and Sedona heads the rest. Time to Rain's got a good kick at the 200 metres. Gets a length and a half clear from Evening Slippers. Bivouac is staying on three off the lead. Time to Rain at the 150. Three lengths clear from Bivouac. Evening Slippers and then came Sedona. And Time to Rain, the half to She Will Rain's going to win on debut. Time to Rain won it easily from Bivouac. At Evening Slippers, third in front of Sedona.
Yeah, over the 1,000 metres. One race, one win now for Time to Rain, trained by Gary Portelli, ridden by Rachel King, who got the treble too. Congratulations to Rachel. She's just going from strength to strength. What do you think Gary might be looking at for Time to Rain, Raymond?
Oh, look, you just got to aim high, haven't you, Jim? He's won his first start. He's won it well. He's laid out under pressure in the straight, so he couldn't be fully tested by Rachel, but he's put a margin on his rivals. He looks a natural, Jim. Have you got a golden supermarket there?
Oh, we'll get to a golden supermarket. I've got the Melbourne Cup market open at the moment, but we'll get to the golden supermarket. Yeah, we have there. 23rd of March. Anaheed is the $15 equal favourite with Catch Me. Champagne Boone at $26. And I'm looking for Time to Rain. There he is, Time to Rain. $26 equal third favourite.
Trained by Gary Portelli, who's a master trainer of two-year-olds, as we know, and he's got another really good one there. Talking of good one, I think this was the best horse to race at Randwick yesterday. I don't think he was suited by the soft track. It was soft seven. He certainly wasn't suited by the way the race was run and being forced four and five wide coming to the home turn. It didn't matter to Diplomatico.
Top of the straight now, and the tenor moves up to Mansa Musa. Stride for stride up the rise. Two lengths clear from Diplomatico. He might be going better than Roosevelt and Legend of Condor to the outside. Mansa Musa, the tenor. Diplomatico's going after them. Legend of Condor to the outside. A bit of a scrimmage up front. Diplomatico gets to the front from Legend of Condor. Diplomatico in front, running out a bit. Diplomatico wins the Brian Crowley. Won it by a half to three quarters to Legend of Condor. The tenor third from...
Over 1,200 metres there, and of course the Coolmore Stud Stakes is over 1,200 metres at Flemington, November 3, and that is a real stallion-making race, isn't it, Raymond? It's a big jump, isn't it, from what Diplomatico's been up to?
He's a big talent, though, Jim. I think if he comes through that race, we'll ask Michael Hawks what their thoughts are, but if he's fit and well, you'd give him a shot at it. I know it's only will be his fourth start, first time up the straight, but he is a huge talent. And, look, Legend of Condor had the drop on him there yesterday, Jim, but as soon as it got really serious, Diplomatico found he drew away, won by nearly a length. He's by Snitzel. He's a $1.7 million yearling purchase, and I think the sky's the limit there with Diplomatico, and he'll certainly be a major play. If not this spring, Jim, I think he's potentially a Group 1 horse in the autumn.
Yep.
On to Caulfield yesterday and some terrific racing all day. The first race we'll highlight is the Ethereal Stakes. Did we see the Oaks winner? Her name is Very Elegant.
Sizzle Me moves up on the outside of pressure on the turn, followed by Yulong Meteor, Aristia into the clear from True Magic, then Graceful Glamour, Very Elegant out wide, running on in the red, then Rubira. Sizzle Me goes for home at the 200 metres. Aristia wearing her down, and Very Elegant right down the outside's coming home at the 100. Aristia up to Sizzle Me, but Very Elegant's dropping on them. Aristia joined by Very Elegant. Very Elegant takes the lead, and Very Elegant won it by a neck. Aristia second, third Sizzle Me.
Very Elegant now $2.50 favourite for the Oaks, as you mentioned, Roman. No wonder kids can't spell now with Very Elegant the way it's spelled.
No.
It's just, Amphitrite?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah,
$5. Amphitrite.
Aristia at $8. Fundamentalist at $13, along with Sizzle Me.
Yeah, both those fillies trained at the top of the markets, and the Oaks trained by Darren Weir. Very Elegant, Jim, doesn't live up to her name. She's tall, she's thin, she's angular. She's not very elegant, but she can start.
Hang on, Raymond. That's a bit controversial to start.
No, I think she was named tongue-in-cheek. If you saw her, she's and I'm not being rude, she's a very plain-looking filly and certainly doesn't stand out. No, I'm just telling it as it is, Jim. But she can stay, so who cares? If you own her, you're in for a very, very good ride come Oaks Day. On to the Caulfield Classic. Thinking big. He was dominant. Will he take on Winks in the Cox Plate?
Extra Brute now, about to get motivated. Four off the lead from Viseo, Tavaran, Star Missile, and behind them, Musselbrook into the straight. Thinking Big quickens up at the 250. Two or three lengths in front of Chapada running on. Extra Brute with a lot to do. Sikorsky whacks away, but Thinking Big, 100 metres to go. Clark looks at the big screen. He's got it won. Three or four lengths in front of Chapada. It's all Thinking Big. Thinking Big bolts in. Chapada second. Real Head Bobber third. Sikorsky maybe. Star Missile.
Maybe Cox Plate, definitely the Derby, of course. Currently a $3.80 favourite for that race. And Gay Waterhouse hasn't ruled out Melbourne Cup either. We're going to speak to Adrian Boppy. Interested to get his thoughts on that one, Raymond.
Yeah, and Gay has run 3-year-olds in the Cox Plate effectively in the past. If you think Manhattan Rain back in 2009, Jim ran second to another 3-year-old, so you think. So, yeah, but gee, would you take on Winks? Looks like being a small field next week for the Cox Plate too, but... Anyway, you've got to take on the great mare. On to the Coonjee Cup. This was a controversial finish. A dead heat. Mask of Time and Best of Days.
Only four lengths top end to tail. Mask of Time quickens at the 400 metres from Samovar, Sir Charles Road. Then Best of Days, who needs a run behind those horses. Maha Madea swept up out deeper, tracked by Tally. Mask of Time. Now Best of Days gets the split at the 200 metres. Gets off the back of Mask of Time and is in hot pursuit. It is Mask of Time with Best of Days, who's having trouble getting past Mask of Time in the shadows, moves up, takes the lead. Best of Days, Mask of Time kicks back. Best of Days has won it by a pimple from his second. Mask of Time, Lifeless Ordinary third.
He went out on a limb there, Matty Hill, didn't quite get it. Best of Days and Mask of Time, it was the dead heat. James Cummings and Kieran Murr and David Eustace, the trainers there, $2.05. Best of Days, Mask of Time, $6. Where would they be heading, Raymond?
Oh, look, probably McKinnon Stakes back into the carnival, Jim. They're the second tier horses, I'd say. Best of Days is promising. He just sort of wanted to hang in, didn't he, Jim? And there was a protest from Kieran McAvoy, rider of Mask of Time, against Best of Days, alleging interference in the last 50 metres. It sort of happened right on the finishing post, so the stewards couldn't be certain that Mask of Time would have won the race, hence they dismissed the protest. But they're sort of the second tier horses. Godolphin, though, do hope that Best of Days come autumn can take that next step and become a Group 1 horse. They sort of rank him similar to Contributor a couple of years ago, who won this same race. On to the Caulfield Cup, Jim, and let's listen to the International Raiders. Best Solution leads them home.
Best Solution drove up on the inside and takes the lead around the turn. It's a stamina-sapping race, and Best Solution goes for home. Two legs in front of Holmesman. The Taj Mahal, the Cliffs of Moher, is running on from Jaretto. Best Solution at the 200 metres. Holmesman grinding it down. The Cliffs of Moher running on. Best Solution a neck in front of Holmesman. Best Solution just Holmesman stretching every sinew. Photo, Best Solution's won it. Best Solution beats Holmesman, the Cliffs of Moher. Jaretto 4.
Yeah, you got it there. Best Solution for Pat Cosgrove, Raymond. You'll have to tell us a little bit more about the Irish jockey. He got a suspension out of that one too, didn't he?
He did, 11 meetings.
Yeah.
Just for causing interference, turn out of the straight the first time. I know the time was slow and the margin was only narrow, but Best Solution was slow away, Jim. Had to make a lot of use of him early to get up on speed where the trainer wanted Pat Cosgrove to park Best Solution, so to speak. So he's had to make a few runs. Carry 57.5, took off a long way from home, so he was a genuine stayer. Pat Cosgrove had a short period in Sydney when he was an apprentice for Aidan O'Brien, just for a couple of months. Bit of a sort of a second-tier jockey, if I can use that expression, overseas. But in the last couple of years, he's really started to make his mark, and he's now won Group 1s back-to-back at Caulfield. Of course, he rode Ben Battle to win the Caulfield Stakes last week. Best Solution, as I said, Jim, we'll know tomorrow what penalty he will get for the Melbourne Cup. I think about a kilo. What's the latest Melbourne Cup betting, Jim?
Yucatan, the horse from last week what was it, $100? Was it eight days ago was 100-1. Now $7 favourite. Yucatan, Best Solution now at $9. Avelius and Magic Circle at $11. And if you're looking for Holmesman, second yesterday in the Caulfield Cup, $17 for Lloyd Williams, looking to make it his sixth Melbourne Cup, is that right?
Seventh, actually.
Seventh,
yeah.
He's already got six, so there you go.
Amazing, yeah. A couple of unlucky runs. Kingswell Dream got almost flattened, and his run to run sixth, I thought, was excellent under the circumstances. As I mentioned earlier, Jim Young Star didn't have a lot of luck in running. She was hitting the line hard out wide. I spoke to Chris Waller after the race. He's still thinking of pressing on towards the Melbourne Cup with her.
Yep.
But these international raiders, Jim, they're going to be very hard to beat.
Youngstar, $17. Kingswell Dream, $26 at tab.com.au. There you go, Raymond. Some good ones there. Look, there's lots of SMS coming in about these blow-ups. Lots of SMSs. So we'll get to a few of them. Dennis Lilly, two incidents. One, aluminium bat throwing. And two, Javed Miandad, almost two blows on the field. That's from Paul. Yeah, he didn't mind involved, man. Did he? The great DK. Mm. Can you believe that... Nathan Lyon, just on that separately, Nathan Lyon, he'll go past Dennis Lilly.
He's remarkable, isn't he, Nathan Lyon? He keeps taking wickets.
He's now taken
four or five,
eight for the Test match. He's number four on the all-time list for Australia. The little offie
remarkable.
From Young.
Hey, Jimmy, this is from... Yeah, he's a great ball. This is from Paul from Huskisson. Ray, that story Jimmy told you about Gus's blow-up was embellished a fair bit. The message he sent to Gullick was, get Jimmy Smith off. Paul, mate of yours, Jim.
He was. very good, Paul. Very good. I'll tell you what, it was probably close to the truth, too. 1353 53, that's the open line number. We're going to take a break
that
here.
Day, Jim, I was told.
Yeah, that's what Mum thought, anyway. But anyway, a lot of the other judges didn't see it that way. 1353 53 is the open line number. We're going to take a break here. We've got a couple of interviews coming up as well. Adrian Bott and Michael Hawke, so stick around.
You're chasing winners over spring, well, why not? Make sure you're listening Monday mornings from 9 a.m. Punters Postmortem. It's myself, TK, along with the best in the business, Ronnie Duffersey, Dean Lester, and Glenn Munsey. If you're serious about punting, make sure you're listening Monday morning from 9 a.m. Punters Postmortem.
Nobody has your back like family, so you know Penrith Mazda will look after you. Get the Mazda 3 Neo Sport, the car of choice. Drive away from just $21,490 and get 3 years, 45,000 kilometre free servicing on selected VT50 models. Plus, all new Mazdas get 5 years unlimited kilometre warranty. Penrith Mazda, your 2017 Mazda master dealer. Family owned and operated at Mulgoa Road, Penrith. MD18808.
And now for the most exciting 2 minutes in sports.
The very best of U.S. racing 7 days a week.
Looking at Lee, can't catch, always dreaming, who's the 143rd winner of the Kentucky Derby.
Live and exclusive across the Sky Racing Network.
More than Simmons just takes it.
Listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Yeah, welcome back to the program. Plenty of these blow-ups coming in, Raymond. Morning, gents. Who could forget the famous John Cosmina blow-up with Kevin Muscat on the sideline? That's from Wise Owl. So,
I'm trying to remember that one. I can't remember that.
Remember the ball was under his chair? And then Kevin Muscat just pushed him over
the chair. Away and
yeah,
that's right.
The blow up from Johnny Cosmina in the grand final.
Right.
Hey, this is something that we had on the back of John Massara, who was on the program after the win of the Autumn Sun last week. And there was a lot of it on social media. And you had the article in the Telegraph the next day about how John Massara didn't want to be the one who shot Bambi. Autumn Sun not taking on Winx in the Cox Plate. Boys, I think the Autumn Sun not running in the Cox Plate is disappointing. What do you think? I don't think he would beat her, but we want to see the best horses running. That's from Hazy at Bomaderry.
It's interesting, isn't it, Jim? What would you do if you owned the Autumn Sun? Would you take on Winx? And look, I think everyone believes that he couldn't beat her. And the reasoning behind it's understandable. He's an immature 3-year-old, etc. I just hope, Jim, that if they are thinking longevity with the Autumn Sun, that he races on at least during his 4-year-old season. So he's not whisked off to start at the end of this season. I hope that's the case. And by looking after him now, he could be in the Cox Plate next year and be the horse to beat.
Does his value as a stallion decline based on the fact he runs second to Winx?
Well, the deal's been done now, so I guess it doesn't really matter.
Right.
Because he's already going to go to stud at Arrowfield, so it's already been locked in. I guess the key, though, is longevity. Now, that's what both John Massara and Chris Waller were talking about, Jimmy, and That's why I hope this horse races on as a four-year-old when he's more developed, more mature, probably physically at his best. Whether Winx will still be here for a 2019 Cox Plate is debatable. And he looks a bit of heir apparent. So if you look after him now, you've got a potential champion, Jim.
1353-53, the open line number. Callers there ready to have their say, Roman. Let's go to Anthony, who's on the line. G'day, Anthony.
Good morning. Listen, before I give you a couple of blow-ups, can I ask Ray, is it true that Rupert Murdoch rang him during this week to ask how his shoulders were because he carried the Telegraph in the Everest Carnival?
Good morning, Anthony. Now, it's been a long campaign, I can tell you that.
I don't know where you got any sleep.
Yeah. It's been pretty tough.
Just to clarify, Anthony, no, Rupert didn't. Lachlan did, though, which is most appreciative. Yeah.
Good on him.
Neither is correct, Anthony, anyway.
Bit extra in the pay packet?
No, sadly not either. So we better change subject before I have a blow-up here, Anthony.
Well, that'll be a first.
Can I give you two quick racing ones and a rugby league one? The Gay and Robbie versus Singo in the mountain yard there.
Oh, yes.
And Lee Freeman telling Craig Newitt he'll never ride for him again. That only lasted for a few weeks till he needed a lightweight jockey.
Yeah.
And in rugby league, Nathan, who can forget Nathan Brown slapping Trent Barrett in the Redhead? The Redhead second run, what was his name again?
The late Lance Thompson.
Lance Thompson.
Nathan Brown slapping the old Trent and Lance.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we've had a lot of those on SMS too.
And Ray, can I ask you, is it interesting that Cabby Jennings and not Tommy Berry rode Diplomatico yesterday?
Reason being is that Brent Navdella was actually booked for the ride, was injured at track work on Tuesday morning, Anthony. Tommy had already taken a ride in the race, so Team Hawks went to Cobie Jennings, who did a great job and got the prize.
That was a tip in itself, because Cobie had a full book at Newcastle, didn't he?
It's a really good horse, Diplomatico, and as I said, he won despite not being comfortable in that going yesterday, Anthony.
Yeah, good on you, Anthony. We do appreciate that. 1353-53 is the open line number. More SMS here. Didn't Gay and Singo have a stoush in the mounting yard after More Joyous? That's from Felix, we've just been through that one. Rodney Hogg had a meltdown in a test match. John Snow clashed with a spectator, and the Poms walked off. Cook and Dittman had a set to in the dressing room, while years before Mully Moore and Selwood were fined by the stewards for taking personal affront with each other. And how good was Blocker Roach when he patted the ref's head in a fit of pique? All the best. That's Ron from Port Macquarie. He's got a couple.
There's a few good ones there.
Yeah, plenty out there, Ron. Good on you, mate. 1353-53, the open line number. We're going to take a break here on the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. After the break, we'll have more of your calls and Adrian Bott and Michael Hawks.
It's English and Fell Swift fighting it out. Chautauqua very late. It's English a half length in front. Can he do it? Chautauqua, he's flying. Yes, there's history. Chautauqua makes it three in a row.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
And welcome back to the show with Jimmy and Ray. 7:42 on Sunday morning, and Team Waterhouse Bot had a terrific day at Caulfield yesterday, landing the Norman Robinson Stakes or the Caulfield Classic with a really promising three-year-old in Thinking Big. And then the Group 2 Tristark with Shamook. And Adrian's been good enough to join us on the line this morning. Adrian, good morning. I don't think you were at Caulfield yesterday. I didn't see you. Gay was there, but congratulations with the two winners. But I guess the question everyone wants to know is, how's Thinking Big pulled up after yesterday, and any closer to decision whether he may take on Winx next Saturday?
Hey, good morning, Ray. Good morning, Jimmy. Yeah, thanks very much for that. It was exciting to see him bounce back. No decision on whether there'll be a cup start or anything. I think we've always targeted the Derby and left it open as an option. You know, it's good to be able to have it there as a possibility. But first and foremost, we want to be able to sort of try and win the Derby with him. That's been the aim all the way through. And if he keeps improving, he's still obviously very lightly raced and he's done. He's come along and made huge progression in such a short space of time. So I think you've got to be able to have those options open. But I guess it's the race has probably changed complexion a bit since 20 years ago. And look, it's a difficult ask for a young horse of that little experience to be able to sort of go onto a race like that so early in his career. But if he's the right horse, well then we should have that option there.
Yeah. How do you? Oh, sorry, Adrian. Yeah.
No,
How do you tell whether he's the right horse? I know Gay's had a history of this throughout the course of her training career, but are you led by the horse as much as anything?
Yeah, certainly by the horse. Like, look, if he comes through that derby, like even stepping out to the 2,500 metres so early in their careers, you know, so many don't see it out. You know, so if he passed that being the first test and comes out of that in good shape, well, it's certainly a something that has to be thought long and hard about, and if we think it won't sort of jeopardise his, you know, preparation next time in going forward, well, then it's certainly something to be looked at.
Is that a similar situation with next week and the Cox Plate? Adrian Gay said yesterday she wasn't ruling out potentially taking on Winks with Thinking Big. Any closer to a decision there as well?
Look, no real closer, but I'd say it's more doubtful that we would go that way with him. Mm-hmm. Again, you know, we're thinking what's the correct way to get him to the derby, and does going to take on Winks jeopardise that? Because again, it's certainly no easy task to be trying to take her on again and be in her way. She's just incredible. Every time people try and come up with an excuse for her or find some chink in her armour, she responds in a major way. So, yeah, I'm sure she'd be there to respond again on Cox Plate Day.
I think the Melbourne Cup's got to mention as well for Thinking Big. $51 presently in the market, Adrian. And again, you just have to wait and see, I guess.
Yeah, look, no decision to be made just yet. But, like, I guess he's getting on such great conditions and, you know, it would be very tempting to look at it. But, yeah, look, nothing will be made today. I'm sorry.
Adrian, I think the key yesterday was he got back on top of the ground. Gay thought in the Spring Champion Stakes, to use her words, probably got bogged down a bit from the 600 metres in the Spring Champion. Still fought on well to run third, but yesterday he just controlled tempo, and the further that race went, Adrian, the more dominant he was.
Yeah, I think there might have been a few factors for that second up failure there. I guess he off a break, he was resuming in the gloaming and won so impressively, and he had everything his own way. So he was very dominant on that occasion. And, you know, his first trip out at the 2,000 metres, he had to attempt it at being second up. So he didn't get everything his own way on that occasion. He was from a tricky draw. He was caught wide early. There was a bit more pressure on. And I guess there's a bit of a difference between a 2,000 metres at Randwick and an 1,800 at Rosehill. So certainly a good test. And I think just being second up and along with those heavy conditions, it just saw him out that little bit, and he wasn't able to be as dominant as he was. And, you know, I still thought he showed his class the way he stuck on. And we weren't disappointed by any means. You know, as much as you hate not being able to capitalise and win a Group 1, you're disappointed going on, not being able to achieve the big result. You know, again, we were still thinking, all right, we're more than on target for where we need to be for the derby. So we were really happy with the run there, second up. And so we went down to Caulfield full of confidence yesterday. And I think the key was being able to get across early and again, take control, so we didn't run into a situation like we did at Randwick. And he did that so easily. And Tim was just able to control it beautifully. He got into such a lovely rhythm and got some great sectionals down there mid-race. It was amazing to watch. And, yeah, he showed that turn of foot. Put it away pretty quickly.
Yeah, he's been fantastic form, hasn't he, Timmy Clark? Another winner for him for you and Gay yesterday with Shamook. She was outstanding. Did that take the stable by surprise a little bit, the comfort of the win?
No, look, not at all. Her win of the Golden Pennant was exactly that. You know, she showed good speed, controlled the race and fought it out strongly. So when she was going to, I guess we stepped up to the mile after that in the Yank Stakes, and going out to the mile for the first time, she just over-raced there early, and that was probably her undoing, again, on the sort of soft track there. So her first time out, she still gave a great kick, but it was just collared late. So we were really happy with her run last start. So going back to the 1,400 metres, we thought, all right, well, she's rock hard fit. She's settled in well down to Melbourne. Gay said out of all the horses going to the races there yesterday, she'd been the one that had done the best since arriving in Melbourne. So we're expecting a big performance. And again, I guess it was probably just the manner in which she was rated by Tim Clark was probably the reason she was so dominant. Again, he was able just to find the front easy. He controlled it perfectly to his liking, and he skipped clear before they were able to get going again. And sort of caught them napping, I guess.
Does that give you the confidence, Adrian, to go back to 1,600 metres again? Because obviously the Meyer Classic looks a logical target if you feel she can run a strong mile.
We'd love to target her to that race. And look, it does really look like the only option for them down there. You know, she's a dual Group 2 winner now. You'd love to get a Group 1 next to her name, and the best chance of doing that is against the fillies and mares. So, we can forgive her for failing at the mile first up at her very first attempt. I think now down in Melbourne she'll be a little bit more seasoned for it. She'll have a bit of extra work while she's down there. So we'd definitely love to attempt it. Whether we experiment with some gear or removing some gear and taking the blinkers off at the mile, that may just help us settle initially in the early stages. So a couple of things to think about there, but that's definitely the race we want to go to. And I think she can be forgiven for that failure at the mile last time. And if we do see her at the mile this time around, you'd be confident she'll run it out strongly. But either way, if she does, I think she's a perfect horse for a race like the Coolmore next year. You know, if she doesn't happen to pick up that Group 1 and target the race that her mother won.
Yep, well, she still likely races all ahead of her, as it is with Thinking Big. Terrific big race double for the Waterhouse Bot Stable yesterday. Adrian, thanks for joining us this morning, and the best of luck for the rest of the Melbourne Spring Carnival.
Thanks very much.
There he is, Adrian Bott, training in partnership with Gay Water. I nearly said Serena Williams. I'm looking at some of these text messages. So, yeah, well, Serena just keeps getting a starty. Hi, guys. John McEnroe and Serena Williams. That's all that was it from Borkham Hills was written. So there you go. Morning, boys. Sideline blow-ups. I got beaten to the punch with Nathan Brown slapping Trent Barrett. So how about Eric Cantona with a kung fu kick to the fan at Crystal Palace, and the woman who stormed the field to give Hollywood Hartley her opinion on his refereeing performance.
Remember that?
Cheers, Mark.
Pointing the finger at him, remember that, Jim? That was
Jeff Gerrard picked her up and escorted her from the field. So,
oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, there you go. High drama. Must have been a Cumberland Oval, I'd say. 1353-53 is the open line number. We'll take a break. We'll be back with Michael Hawkes.
You like to hear about sports and racing?
Yes, yes, yes.
We've got the perfect start to your week. The Big Sports Breakfast has cricket, NBL, rugby league, race tips and more.
Oh, yes!
Wake up to the Big Sports Breakfast, Monday morning from 5:30 on Sky Sports Radio.
New Zealand Bloodstock's Ready to Run sale has an unrivaled record of success. With 117 stakes wins and 17 Group 1 victories in the last five seasons alone, it's the most prolific source of winners in Australasia and Asia. Hundreds of two-year-olds are on offer, so don't miss the opportunity to bolster your stable. Join us at Karaka on the 21st and 22nd of November. Contact NZB now to request a catalogue or view online. New Zealand Bloodstock, where winning begins.
Your family deserves to be safe and secure at home. That's where Wideline Windows and Doors can help. Their secure line screens offer security without compromising on design or your view. And their safe line window screens are designed to prevent falls, keeping your youngest family members safe and sound. For security, safety and peace of mind, call Wideline Windows and Doors or visit their website at www.wideline.com.au.
It's Jon Snow racing to the lead in the Derby. He beat off Harper's Choice. Hardham is surging at them. Jon Snow in front. Jon Snow from Harper's Choice's game. Jon Snow, another New Zealand victory in the Derby.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Yeah, welcome back to the program. Just trying to establish a line there to Michael Hawkes, but in the light of that, Raymond, you'd love to go to the Sydney First Grade Cricket Premiership that's, of course, underway at the moment. A bit of rain around Sydney, but only late in the day. And this is the type of thing that you get, Raymond. You get Randwick Petersham taking on UTS North Sydney, that one at North Sydney Oval, and you go down David Warner, Court Bryant, bowled Campbell for 15. So well done, Campbell. I don't know who Campbell is, but that's a good pickup. This is interesting, though. Eastern Suburbs taking on Sutherland at Waverley Oval. Sutherland, they batted first. Watson was caught Ezekiel bowled Furrer for 15. Steve Smith batting 3. Caught Holt, bowled Conway, 0.
Conway got a the great Steve Smith for a duck.
Got him for naught. Thank you very much. Yeah, absolutely. Got the Australian, former Australian captain, arguably best batter in the world, and he nicked him out in first grade cricket for naught. That's not a bad
can
effort.
Happen.
Yeah, absolutely. I tell you what can also happen. You can have a star emerge on a day like yesterday at Royal Randwick. That's what happened for the Hawke Stable with Diplomatico, and Michael has been good enough to join us on the line now. G'day, Michael.
Jimmy, how are you going?
Yeah, really well. Lots to like about this horse yesterday, the win, but in particular the fight in the horse, I think, Michael, was probably the thing that impressed you most.
Yeah, it did. He really hit the line. He attacked the line like he did first up, obviously, at Kensington when he won his maiden. But yesterday he was in for the fight. It's only his third start in a race. He's still learning his craft, but he really wanted to hit the line. It was really good.
Yeah, good morning, Michael. He was impressive because things didn't go his way. That tempo just slackened mid-race. He got on heels. Kobe had to get him out four wide and sort of face the breeze. So he was there to be beaten, Michael, but he was dominant late.
Yeah, morning, mate. Look, I thought it was a brilliant ride from Kobe. Mm. He summed it up in all but two strides. He made up, two or three lengths in those two strides. And when it did slacken, what I loved about it was he didn't panic. And when he popped off and was three wide, he just sat there and just let him get into his rhythm and just let him go through the motions. And that was probably the winning factor. So when he did come around the corner, yes, he was wide, but he still had a lap for the horse. And our game plan, obviously, before the race was just to, it was really all about letting him go through the gears. It wasn't about where he was in the run. It was more about letting him go through the gears. And as you saw yesterday, when he actually went through them, he was actually better for it.
Mm. Snitzel, three-year-old colt, maiden win over 1,300 metres, 1,200 yesterday, 1,200 for the Coolmore. Best distance for Diplomatico at this point, Michael?
Look, Jimmy, I think he'll get further.
Right.
I think in the autumn, he might be a horse that might get over 14, maybe a mile. But you know what? We're here, we're now, and obviously his win yesterday was great over 12. And he's not there yet. He's only a baby. And I know they paid a lot for him, 1.8 million, but that doesn't mean anything. You pay 30,000 for a horse and still do the same. But you know, we've got to just try and teach him his craft, and he's learning that. But I think in time, he will get further. But end of the day, the question is, do you have to go further? The answer is not really. Mm. So, look, he'll tell us. We've always been that way with these sort of horses, or any horse for that matter, in our stable. And, he's definitely going the right way, albeit it was a big class rise yesterday, and he handled it well.
Mm. And potentially to the Group 1 again, the Coolmore Stud, if you go that way, he's the sky's limit, I think, with him. As it is with the winner of the last, Michael Mahalangur, I hope I pronounce that correctly. I get it wrong every time, but what I do know is this is a horse with also lots of ability. What's that, mate?
I still worry how to say it.
Oh, I
can't talk to him.
Well, he named the horse, didn't he?
He just goes, that horse.
I'll tell you what, that horse has got ability, Michael.
Mahalanga is his name.
That's right? It. Okay.
So he won't all out there, Mahalanga. But he's always had ability. Actually, Kobe Chennings rode him his first start at Newcastle. We took him away for a kill, and he won very good there in his first start. And we ran him in some high profile races during that prep that he won. And albeit it wasn't till we found out he had some issues, and we've rectified those. And he's come back bigger and stronger, and he's still a colt by O'Reilly, and they don't make O'Reillys anymore. But in saying that, he's still got to go through the grades, which he is. But look, I thought his win yesterday was probably his best win to date. His win at Warwick Farm was good, first up, but I just thought that his race craft was a lot better, and he wanted to attack the line better yesterday. Mm. Albeit he has a light weight, but he does love the ground. But he's a horse that, we've had an opinion of, but he's really, got to go through that racecraft again. And he's going through the motions quite good, actually, and his win was really good.
Yeah. No, he's a promising horse, as they both are. Look, Michael, terrific day for the stable yesterday with Diplomatico and Mahalanga. I hope I got that right.
No, you're
right. No, I'm struggling with that horse's name. That horse, Jim. That horse.
Yeah, very good.
Thanks for joining us, Michael, and best of luck for the rest of the spring.
Thanks, guys.
There he is, Michael Hawkes from the Hawkes Stable after those couple of winners. What was the name of that second winner, Ray?
That horse. I'm not going to go there anymore.
It reminds me of my mate Justin Dooley, who, by the way, a big thank you from him for those tickets you arranged for him yesterday for his brother-in-law's Bucks party. He struggled to say pneumonia. Couldn't say it. So in the end, he just called it a very bad cold. Yeah, very bad cold. That's what it is. 1353-53, the open line number. For the first time, we say good morning to Tanya with the scratchings around New South Wales.
Good morning, boys. Good morning, all. Racing in New South Wales today is at Wyong and Nowra. Let's start with Wyong. The weather is overcast. The track is soft 7. The rail is true. And there are 23 scratchings. Race 1, takeout number 10, Slimline, number 10. Race 2 is clear. Race 3, number 6, Burnson. 9, Legit. 10, Not a Zinzan. And 11, Circuit. 6, 9, 10 and 11. Race 4, takeout 2, Bodie. 4, Bentley Magic. 5, Picaro. 6, All I Can. 11, Cloudless Sky. And 14, Janiti. 2, 4, 5, 6, 11 and 14. Race 5, number 1, Excelling. 3, Ready Cat Go. 4, So Magic. 8, Cellar. And 10, I'm a Crumpet. 1, 3, 4, 8 and 10. Race 6, take out 2, Noble Truth, and 6, King of Navarra, 2 and 6. Race 7, number 1, Katinos, 6, Powerline, 8, Cordoned, and 10, Social Pirate, 1, 6, 8 and 10. And race 8, take out 3, High Tranquility, number 3 from race 8 at Wyong. Nowra, the weather is overcast, the track a soft 7, the rail true, penetrometer 4.73 and 20 scratchings. Race 1, take out 5, Mickey J and 12, Hard Enough, 5 and 12. Race 2, number 2, Zardoro, 4 interventions and 8 prying, 2, 4 and 8. Race 3, number 6, Zioptimus, number 6. Race 4, number 3, Pasaga, 4, Le Bombe, 5, Circuit, and 6, Sonic Power, 3, 4, 5, and 6. Race 5 is clear. Race 6, number 6, Lucky Prospector, 11, Citizens Arrest, and 12, Venice Queen, 6, 11, and 12. And race 7, number 1, Cloudless Sky, 2, Kid Galahad, 3, Rip Masters, 6, Benfica Maid, 14, Sunbaker, 15, Venice Queen, and 16, Gratira. 1, 2, 3, 6, 14, 15 and 16 from race 7 at Nowra.
Thanks, Tan. Tips today, just a couple in tips today, Jimmy. In Wyong, race 1, number 2, Canyonero, I think about 2.25 in the early markets. That's a good price. Can get us a bank for today. Race 1, number 2, Canyonero. Over to Nowra, race 5, number 3, King of Navarre, scratched from Wyong. In favour of the Nowra race, looks well placed. Race 5, number 3, King of Navarre.
Race 5, number 3, King of Navarre. Race 5, number 2, King of Navarre.
Sorry, number 2, thanks.
Race 5, number 2, King of Navarre. We'll put those out on social media as well. I love the fact, Raymond, that you've been busy, 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 but you've still done your form at Wyong and Nowra. And I'm sure the listeners appreciate it as well. I might have a little bet today on those, so I'm going to back you in today, Raymond. You feeling good,
good
form?
Mate. We had 2 last week out of 3, so we're back in form, James.
There we are.
Let's hope we can keep
good
it going.
Michael Carianis up very shortly. We'll speak to Jim McGrath from the Godolphin Stable, and, of course, we'll have the Event Cinemas quiz and your calls on 1353-53.
I'm Sarah Womby. The biggest swing in Australia's political history has landed the nation with its second minority government in just over 8 years. Independent Karen Phelps achieved an unprecedented swing of more than 20% against Liberal candidate Dave Sharma in Malcolm Turnbull's former seat of Wentworth yesterday. Dr. Phelps has promised not to let the voters down.
It's a credit to the people of Wentworth that they saw through the tricks and they saw through the nastiness and they saw through, you know, the major campaign machines of the big parties, and they recognised that this was a grassroots campaign that was speaking to them.
And in his concession speech, Mr. Sharma paid tribute to Dr. Phelps.
She ran a very good campaign. She's a formidable Australian and has given much to Australia. And I hope and trust she will be a good local member for Wentworth. And whatever I can do to support her in that role, I will.
Victoria Cross recipient Ben Robert Smith has come out swinging against Fairfax Media after the news organisation raised fresh allegations about his time serving with the Special Forces in Afghanistan. The ex-soldier in mid-August launched defamation proceedings against Fairfax and three of its journalists, arguing articles about potential war crimes in Afghanistan and separate allegations about domestic violence were false. The 39-year-old said he was very confident Fairfax would eventually have to apologise. Women with asthma are being urged to take action to manage the condition following the release of new figures. The latest data from the Australian Bureau of Statistics showed there were a total of 441 asthma-related deaths across the country last year. 300 of those were females. Dr. Jonathan Burden from the National Asthma Council says they're especially concerned about women in their 50s and 60s, where the death toll doubled.
Certainly in the age group where they are juggling a lot of responsibilities, and women tend to be looking after the family and others rather than looking after themselves. And my message to them is look after yourself first.
A man has been killed by lightning at a racecourse in central western New South Wales as storms hit the state. Emergency services were called to Comabello Road near Dubbo just after 2 yesterday afternoon following reports a man had been struck by lightning. Paramedics assessed the 53-year-old, but he died at the scene. Overseas, a senior official in Turkey's ruling party says Turkey will never allow a cover-up of the killing of Saudi journalist Jamal Khashoggi in Saudi Arabia's consulate in Istanbul. The deputy head of the Justice and Development Party's pledge comes after Saudi Arabia announced hours earlier that the writer died during a fistfight in its consulate. The announcements in Saudi state media came more than 2 weeks after Khashoggi entered the Saudi consulate in Istanbul for paperwork required to marry his Turkish fiancée and never came out. And India's railway officials and local community leaders have traded blame over an accident in which a train ran over scores of people gathered on the railway tracks for a festival in the northern city of Amritsar. Punjab State's chief minister says 59 people died with 57 injured. The Perth Wildcats have recorded their third consecutive win of the NBL season on the back of a star performance from reigning MVP Bryce Cotton. The champion guard contributed a season-high 28 points in the Cats' 88-73 win over the Brisbane Bullets yesterday. The teams meet again in Brisbane on Thursday to open round 3. And Bendigo beat Dandenong 87-65 in the women's match. Left-arm spinner John Holland is set to be sidelined after suffering a broken finger during Australia's Test Series defeat to Pakistan in the UAE. Holland is understood to have sustained the injury when he was hit by a Mohammad Abbas delivery while batting in Australia's second innings during the series decider in Abu Dhabi. It was not immediately clear how much of Victoria's Sheffield Shield campaign Holland would miss. Meantime, England have completed a 3-0 one-day international series win over Sri Lanka in Kandy with their third straight victory. Australian Jack Miller will start from third on the grid at the Japanese MotoGP. Miller on a Ducati was third fastest in today's qualifying, 0.137 seconds off the pace. Ducati rider Andrea Dovizioso claimed pole position, clocking 1 minute 44.590 seconds, 0.068 seconds ahead of Yamaha rider Johann Zarco. And at the Invictus Games, Australia has claimed silver in the driving challenge on Cockatoo Island. Australian Independent Radio News.
Don't whinge and whine about the traffic. Think of the wine you have at home. A glass of Windy Peak Chardonnay. By De Bortoli, of course. Here's the traffic.
Commemorate this Remembrance Day with the official 2018 Anzac Spirit Coin Collection. Get a free 50-cent United coin and collector's album only when you buy the Sunday Telegraph next weekend. In Pennant Hills, lights are out on Boundary Road at Bellamy Street. Also in Hornsby on Edgeworth David Avenue at Albert Street. In Moralia, McClements Road is closed due to flooding. And we've got special event clearways along Bondi Road from Oxford Street down to Sandridge Street due to the Sculpture by the Sea event. Hyundai Monday is coming tomorrow. Get great deals across the range, plus huge factory bonuses on selected models. A great week starts with a great deal. Visit your local dealer tomorrow. I'm Solomon Gates, number one in racing on Sky Sports Radio.
Thinking about your next build or renovation? Wideline Windows and Doors has all the planning tools at your fingertips. Their website is full of inspirational ideas to make your project a success. Advice and tips to get you started, even a colour selector and window planning tool. Plus, free online quotes are returned in 48 business hours. Just upload your plans or tell them what you need. Easy. There's never been a better time to take a closer look at the Wideline Windows and Doors website. www.wideline.com.au.
Punters, we bet you, you can't find a better betting app than the Tab app. With more live Sky Racing than any other app, exclusive race previews and the biggest range of race replays on offer, you have everything you need to give you the best betting experience all in the palm of your hand. Plus, enjoy access to detailed form, cutting-edge data and expert analysis from the best in the business. Download the Tab app today and stay ahead of the game. Tab. Terms and conditions apply. See tab.com.au. Gamble responsibly.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Sydney's weather, cloudy. There's a 40% chance of showers, although that becomes less likely into the evening. Winds south to southeasterly, 20 to 30 k's, becoming light in the evening. Heading for a top temperature of just 20 degrees today, a little bit coolish in Sydney. James, what's the current temperature at Caulfield? Because it was cold there yesterday, and at your old neck of the woods, Cootamundra.
Still cold at Caulfield, would you believe, Raymond? 10 degrees presently, and of course at Cootamundra, probably bright and sunny, let me get that. Partly cloudy and 22 degrees.
To the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Yeah, welcome back to the program. Probably raised as many questions as it did answers yesterday with that win from the Kangaroos, 34 points to 16 over Tonga. Magnificent crowd there, 26,214, Raymond, and puts a real question mark around what they can and will do with a very popular Tongan side. That score update is brought to you by Panthers. Be rewarded at Panthers with Panthers' new loyalty program, Panthers Rewards. There's never been a better time to be a member of the Panthers family, Raymond. I know you are, for only $5.
Absolutely.
Members receive only over $1,000 worth of rewards. Details at panthers.com.au or call 1300-PANTHERS. Michael Carriana's coming up very shortly. Jim McGrath from Godolphin, following the win of Best Solution yesterday in the Caulfield Cup. Event Cinemas quiz coming up. Score update, Raymond?
24-17, almost game over. James,
almost. I know you haven't given up. The Event Cinemas quiz coming up, and of course your calls on 13-53-53. And just before we get to a few more of these nominations, Raymond, for blow-ups, we've got to make mention of congratulations to Mystic Wright and the trainers and connections involved there. The $1 million Greyhound race. Wentworth
Park. First ever in the world. And just think, 2 years ago, Greyhound Racing was on its knees in New South Wales. So congratulations. Hey, James, you mentioned earlier Smith and Warren. Just a quick one. This is from Jason from Windsor.
Yeah.
And this is the alternative view. If Kevin Robertson, Cricket Australia, want to earn credibility, then they should make all three players, that's Smith, Warner and Cameron Bancroft, serve every day of their suspension. The arrogance, ugliness and bully-like attitude they and the Australian team became over the last 3 years should never be allowed to happen again. Darren Lehman's role in that should also never be forgotten. That's an alternative view, Jim.
Yeah, absolutely. And you've got to apportion blame in a lot of quarters when you start talking about that bully boy attitude that the Australian cricket side had. I noticed that Rod Marsh has got a book coming out. Oh, you can leave me out of that one. Rod Marsh's role across Australian cricket. And I know he's a very good player, but some of the things that he was heavily involved in as a player and beyond, absolutely reprehensible. But I'm still of the belief, Raymond, Cricket Australia responded to the reaction rather than the action, and that was where they made, well, not their first mistake, but one of many.
One of many. And just a quick one, Jim. Tim Payne, like he's a breath of fresh air. I think everyone likes his attitude, likes what he's bringing to the Australian team as the skipper. But do you think the criticism was unwarranted that of that run out that Tim Payne executed off the Mitchell Stark throw-in from the boundary line when the two Pakistani batsmen were standing in the middle of the pitch? Surely the onus is on them to be more on the game rather than Tim Payne to knock the bails off then say, oh, by the way, guys, not in the spirit of the game, stay at the crease.
Play hard, play fair.
Mm.
Play hard,
I didn't
play
wrong.
Fair.
It was a run out. Yeah. They didn't run, so he took
absolutely.
The bails off.
Absolutely. Yeah. I've always been a believer of that. Longhurst v. Paul Morris. That's Chad from Auburn Golf Shop talking about the blow-ups. One person just says he'd McEnroe blow up. So there you go. We'll accept that. And morning, boys. With his passing the other day, I think we all loved Ron Casey's blow up on the midday show when he caught Normie Rowe on the Vera Lynn. Cheers, Manly Man Al. Didn't it become famous? Poor old Ray Martin. Ray had to jump in, didn't he?
Well, he didn't jump in, did he? Was it a left hook by Normie or was it a right hook?
I thought it was a right hook, but it's all over YouTube.
It did clock him, yeah. So,
what, do we know what they were debating at the time? What was the debate?
It was something about Vietnam War, wasn't it, I think, and the role of veterans or something.
So Normie was a veteran, wasn't he?
I stand to be corrected, yeah.
Yeah.
I stand to be corrected.
Okay, all right, we'll check that out. But yes, very much a blow-up, and that's what we're looking for this morning as well. Blow-ups, given the fact that Jose Mourinho has blown up at one of the trainers for Chelsea after they got the late equaliser. It was actually at Stamford Bridge, not at Old Trafford. Now, we talked about the great atmosphere and the scenes over there at Mount Smart. Because of a flight that he had to catch, Michael Carayannis, we did this pre-record a little bit earlier, and given the fact you're down at Melbourne, you missed out on speaking to your colleague, Michael, but here it is a little bit earlier when we caught up with Michael Carayannis from the Daily Telegraph.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray. Brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock, over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Well, there were unbelievable scenes yesterday at Mount Smart Stadium. 26,214 people for Tonga v the Kangaroos in Auckland. Who'd have thought that? The man who was there for the Daily Telegraph is Michael Carayannis. Been good enough to join us on the line this morning. Well, Mick, the game was a very good one. The atmosphere came through the television like never before. What was it like at the ground?
Oh, Jimmy, it was ridiculous. We got to the crowd of the game, it was probably 2 hours before kickoff, and the streets were flooded. They were red and white. They were dancing in the street. The Tongan flags were waving, and it was just incredible. When the anthem was sung, the Australian anthem was sung as loud as the Tongan anthem because the Tongans were singing it. I've never seen anything like it. The players were surprised. They were driving to the team on a bus, and they were all waving. All the Tongan fans were waving, and it was just a carnival-like atmosphere.
Yeah, it's an interesting quote from the Australian captain, Boyd Cordner, in your article this morning, and that is that, you know, usually when they're away in rep sides, and you're talking about Suncorp here, it's a pretty hostile reception. Didn't seem to be the case of the Australian side last night.
No, not at all. And I think that's what the surprise of players. They were anticipating that hostility, and Boyd Cordner said it is nothing that they've ever experienced before, just the respect, I guess, They were shown by the Tongan fans. I've covered, you know, games in PNG, and it was quite similar to that, I guess, where they just want a glimpse of their hero. That's what they got last night, and they got a good game to boot as well.
Tier 1 nation status, do you think, is a certainty, a given now after Tonga have played so well against England, New Zealand, and now Australia?
Well, definitely on the field. I think they're certainly worthy of that. They obviously beat the Kiwis, almost beat England, and pushed the Kangaroos as well. But it's off the field where the drama is in terms of trying to get the funding and structures in place where they can be feasible, stand on their own 2 feet. But, they're definitely, on the field, they're definitely a top-tier nation, that's for sure.
All right, let's have a chat about the game. Australia 34, Tonga 16, got out to an early lead, Australia, and you thought, this might be a little bit dangerous for Tonga. They lost out of Hingano as well, but what they did do is stay in the contest for a long period of time, Mick.
Oh, definitely, and then they built pressure. I guess the criticism or the question marks over the Tongan side was their ability to build pressure and their kicking game and seeing what sort of platform that they could build off. And you know, in the first half, there was a few errant kicks by them, but the second half, they were able to build that pressure. I think they had six repeat sets.
Yeah.
After Tyson Frizzell dropped that ball in the second half, the Kangaroos didn't touch the ball for 10 minutes. And that was a patience that we probably haven't seen from a lot of these Pacific Island sides. And that will show a real growth, I guess, in the Tongan side.
Tedesco outstanding. It's a dream season for the Roosters, New South Wales and Australian fullback. I know you can be very harsh about this, but Billy Slater leaves the game and immediately you've got a guy like Tedesco who comes in and announces himself as clearly the number one.
Yeah, you look at all the guys that have moved on, all those veterans, and I guess the position that's been filled seamless, and this is not a shot at Billy Slater, who's an all-time great, is that it's just because how good James Tedesco has gone this year. You know, he won the Blues player of the series. He was instrumental in the Roosters finals run and finished the year with man of the match honours in just his second test. And he was outstanding. He's going to be the long-term fullback, obviously, for the Kangaroos. And it's a great position, the fullback one. There's a lot of depth there, but there's none better than James Tedesco.
All right, what's next for the Kangaroos? And this is interesting. Mal Meninga was talking after the game. It's really undecided. We think we know more, which is strange. We know more about what's happening internationally for Tonga than we do for Australia, which seems crazy, Mick.
It's madness. It's all up in the air at the moment. There was a proposal put to the Asia Pacific side, nations on Thursday. But at this stage, it's just a proposal. The Kangaroos are keen to go to the Northern Hemisphere and pull Great Britain next year, but it looks like that will happen in 2020 heading into the 2021 World Cup. So it's definitely up in the air. But one thing we know, which is great, is that New Zealand are going to play Tonga during the State of Origin period next year. A game that should have happened this year will finally happen next year.
We understand that the Australians took a big pay cut to play this game. That may not be sustainable. What's a solution moving forward around player payments to make sure that these games take place?
I think, Jimmy, it may become the norm. I'm not sure. I know Mal's big on building the international game. And whatever Mal wants, from his players, they essentially do. They got $20,000 to play the Kiwis and $3,000 to play Tonga last night. So it's difficult. The hardest thing for international rugby league is that the NRL essentially funds it all. So without the NRL, there's no international rugby league. So the onus is then on the players to see how much of the pie they want. But the big thing is it was parity last night. So in terms of payment, and that's what we want to see going forward. If that means the Kangaroos get a little bit less and the other nations get a bit more, then I think that's the Australian players and Mal Meninga would support that.
Adahin Gano, we mentioned with the shoulder injury. Any update on that? And any other injuries, especially for those NRL clubs' leading players?
Yeah, obviously, he dislocated the shoulder. He was able to go back in, but then it came back out again. So that's not a good sign for the Canberra Raiders playmaker. And the Kangaroos came through unscathed. I think it was back-to-back games of relatively injury-free, so which would be a boost for the clubs. Obviously, Andrew Fifita will get knee surgery at some stage this week. I think he put it off to play in that test match last night, which shows his commitment to international game, but he's been lingering with a knee injury for the better half of the year.
Yeah. Well, just incredible. Amazing full stop on the rugby league season of 2018. Mick, we appreciate your coverage over the last few weeks over in New Zealand and, of course, PNG before that. And have a good break. We'll see you back for 2019.
Thanks, Jimmy. Appreciate it.
Michael Carayannis there, live from New Zealand, following that historic test match. The Kangaroos 34, Tonga 16.
Winks has bolted in the Cox plate.
Winks, a tenth a record fourth Cox plate.
It's a Winks split.
We have everything covered with interviews, the barrier draw, Warren Huntley's track work notes, and more.
The Great Bear completes the great trilogy of the term.
It's a Winks Racing HQ, Tuesday morning at 9 on Sky Sports Radio.
With 150 years of expertise, the specialist team at HQ Insurance are passionate about horses and privileged to be an integral part of the bloodstock industry. HQ Insurance, the headquarters of Equine Insurance. Find us at hqinsurance.com.au or call 8913 1640.
It's Brett Ogle here, standing in a Drummond Golf store, completely naked. Don't worry, madam. Everything's fine. I'll be fully clothed in a minute because only Drummond Golf has a range that includes all the famous brands in clubs, bags, buggies, accessories, shoes, and you'll be happy to hear, clothing. In fact, for the best range in golf gear, you really can't beat Drummond Golf. Ah, here come my new clothes now. See, madam, nothing to worry about. All I need now is some new balls.
Be rewarded at Panthers with Panthers' new loyalty program, Panthers Rewards. There's never been a better time to be a member of the Panthers family. For only $5, Jimmy, members receive over $1,000 worth of rewards. And you can earn Panthers points every time you make a purchase and redeem your points throughout the club, including at all restaurants and bars, which you've got to go to, Jim. We've got to make that dinner happen soon, mate.
Well, I'm only going with you. I'm not going while you're down in Melbourne.
Of course, yeah.
I want to be looked after. I want to get the Ray Thomas treatment when I go out there.
We'll get the lovely Tracy up there too, mate, and Tanya, and we'll have a nice meal. Osso's, anyway. Go to Panarottis if you want.
Mate, I wouldn't dare take you away from Osso's. I know you'd be upset for the rest of the night.
Either way, they're great. If you're not already a Panthers member, join now for just $5 and be rewarded. If you are a member already, renew now. Details at panthers.com.au.
Listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
And welcome back to the show with Jimmy and Ray. Well, Godolphin's best solution was just too good for the field yesterday in the Caulfield Cup. And a good friend of this program and Godolphin's Jim McGrath is on the line to talk about best solutions win and the progress now towards the Melbourne Cup. And I think Jim's out at Werribee this morning. Jim, good morning. And, well, congratulations firstly to the Godolphin, the whole team, for best solutions win. And can you tell us how best solution has pulled up after his Caulfield Cup, Jim?
Well, thanks, Ray, first of all. Thanks for your good wishes there. And I know it's very very welcome by the whole Godolphin team. I can't actually tell you how he's pulled up. I've just pulled up at Werribee myself now.
Fair enough.
I'm going to go and have a look at him. But it was a great day for Godolphin. It's, a worldwide, a global operation, as you know. Mm-hmm. And to win a race of that standing, that status, is recognised within the company and Sheikh Mohammed's organisation, and everyone's very proud.
Yeah, incredible effort, not least because of the weight and the barrier, and we get the feeling, Jim, that Best Solution will have no problems over the 2 miles. Is that the thought of the stable as well?
Well, I think so, Jimmy, because, you know, the way what he did there yesterday was pretty exceptional. You saw two sides of him which were very commendable. One was his ability to actually just drop the bit, drop his head. As soon as he got in, he was in a position where he was 4 and 5 wide, and then Pat's been able to get him in, and almost immediately he's relaxed, he's dropped his head, and they went slow in the middle stages of the race. And then when the sprint started, he was able to accelerate and to actually stay on. So those attributes are exactly what you need to win a Melbourne Cup.
Yeah, Jim, all those points you made are so salient, but I guess looking ahead to tomorrow now, there's the potential for a penalty. And look, I'm not aware of what Greg Carpenter will do, Jim, but the general talk in the press room last night was about a kilo potentially for Best Solution, which would take him to 58.5 in the Melbourne Cup. If he was to get that kilo penalty, how do you think he'll fare with what is a real steadier come 3,200 metres, 58.5?
Well, it is. It's, I think Greg Carpenter is a man who's always guided by history. He looks at the stats, but he also looks at the history of the race and the way the race has evolved. I mean, we're a far cry from 40 years ago when the top weight in the cup, I think in Galilee's era, the top weights were getting 10 stone 10, which is just incredible. And, of course, the race is a very different race today to what it was. And for that reason, 58.5 would be a lot, you know, in the context of today's racing. So I would say he'd bear that in mind. He's also going to bear in mind the fact that he was probably very confident that he'd got his figures right before when he actually published them. And there's not a great deal that's happened since then to actually show you that Best Solution is, you know, how much improved is he from the time the weights were released. I think it's a fact that this is an improving horse, and Saeed has made that point. But whether it's worth that in the context of the figures and the handicaps of today, whether it's worth a kilo is open to debate.
We mentioned it earlier, Jim, 187 Group 1s globally for the Godolphin Machine. Unfortunately, a couple of seconds, a couple of thirds in the Melbourne Cup. What would it mean for Sayed bin Sarur? What would it mean for His Highness Sheikh Mohammed bin Rashid Al Maktoum to finally win our great race?
Well, Sheikh Mohammed, when he created Godolphin, he stressed the fact that this was a global stable. And it was to pinpoint, to target the feature races, the great races of the world. And high on his list was the Derby at Epsom, the Kentucky Derby, and the Melbourne Cup. They were three that were always figuring in any discussions or any interviews you ever heard with Sheikh Mohammed. So, you know, it would mean a great deal to everybody concerned. You know, it's not just him. It's a huge team. It's a huge global team. And there is great recognition of the importance of the Melbourne Cup, not just what it means to racing people, but what it actually means to Australians and you know, in sport in general. And that is recognised. So it would mean an awful lot to Godolphin.
What about potentially a Cox Plate as well, Jim? I know you've got to take on the great mare Winks, who, as we speak, is still rated the world's best racehorse. She's going for an incredible fourth consecutive Cox Plate next Saturday. But Godolphin potentially have two, possibly three, very good chances in the Cox Plate. Ben Battle, who was so tough in the Caulfield Stakes. Avilius, who's a much-improved stayer under James Cummings. And, Jim, are you aware, will Charlie Appleby run Blair House in the Cox Plate too?
I'm not sure. I haven't spoken to Charlie in the last 48 hours, Ray, but, you know, he's entered and, you know, he'd be guided, I think, by the way the horse is actually going, how he's come out of that last race and how he's actually progressing in himself. So they're factors that will all be taken into account. You know, it's not just a matter of having runners. It's being competitive and also being in a position where you can actually win. So those are the factors that will all be taken into account. But, you know, the weight for age, the Cox Plate, we all know is Australia's premier weight for age race. And it is it would be a great achievement if you were able to win it.
Well, three terrific chances, potentially mentioned with Ben Battle, Avilius, and possibly Blair House. Look, great days yesterday for Godolphin right across the board. James Cummings had two winners for the Royal Blue, as well as the Caulfield Cup, obviously, with Best Solution and Sayed bin Sarur. It's been a great start to the spring so far, Jim, and we hope to get you on again during the carnival for more big race wins from Godolphin. Thanks for joining us this morning, Jim.
Thanks, Ray. Thanks, Jimmy.
There he is, Jim McGrath from the Godolphin Stable. We do appreciate that. 1353 53, the open line number. We'll take a break. We'll be back with your calls because they're all wanting to talk about these blow-ups. And just for clarification, Raymond, Ron at Port Macquarie says, Ron and Normie Rowe, so Ron Casey and Normie Rowe, were debating the flag in an Aussie Republic.
Ah.
How appropriate, given the Duke and Duchess of Sussex have been gracing our shores over the last few days. And everyone's excited about that, aren't they, Tanya? There we go. 1353 53, a break and back with more.
Stratum Star, a dual Group 1 winner from coast to coast.
Stratum Star's hit the front, he's won it.
You can see him in the yard, he's a beautiful horse, and he's tough, he's sound, he's got everything you want in a racehorse, so I'm sure he'll make a great stand.
But Stratum Star,
got the best attitude. He's really the perfect horse, really.
Scrotum Star, by a Golden Slipper winner and champion sire of two-year-olds. Standing at tremendous value this season for $11,000, including GST. Visit Widdon.com.
Another quick success story about radio. A marketer needed to promote a cruise. It was a big cruise. She heard that
1 in 3 people respond to a radio presenter endorsement.
So she got some radio presenters to go on a cruise to give an endorsement. The presenters had fun. Their audience heard the fun and followed it online. 1 in 3 listeners decided they should check out a cruise too.
Told you.
Soon the big empty ship was a big full ship. All thanks to radio. Alive with personalities, alive with engagement. Visit radioalive.com.au.
Punters, we bet you. You can't find a better betting app than the Tab app. With more live Sky Racing than any other app, exclusive race previews and the biggest range of race replays on offer, you have everything you need to give you the best betting experience all in the palm of your hand. Plus, enjoy access to detailed form, cutting-edge data and expert analysis from the best in the business. Download the Tab app today and stay ahead of the game. Tab. Terms and conditions apply. See tab.com.au. Gamble responsibly.
That's how I feel. Damn sick and tired of getting out rebounded. 25 offensive rebounds. First time we block out, we get called for a damn block out for pushing people. Entire thing came down to offensive rebound. They got every offensive rebound, and we didn't get one of them. What else do you want to know?
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Yeah, we're doing blast today, Raymond. Kevin Borseth, that was the Michigan women's volleyball coach. Not happy, Kevin. Do you know what that sounds like? It sounds like Ray Thomas during an ad break when things don't go his way on the program.
Yeah,
especially
come on, Jim. You've got to be talking the truth on this show, Jim. You can't be talking furfies. Or
why would we start talking the truth now, Raymond? We've been going for a decade and we haven't got near it just yet. 1353 is the open line number. We've got plenty of callers there, Raymond. Let's go to them now. G'day, Cam.
How you going, mate?
Really well. What do you got
Morning,
for us?
Morning, Cam.
We've got plenty of calls. I want to talk to you guys about the horse that raced last night in England by the name of Cracksman.
Yeah.
How do you think he would go against Winks?
Gee, it's a tough question, isn't it, Cam? Because there's always that belief that the European middle distance weight for age horses is superior to ours, except when you talk about a legendary horse like Winks, and she is an absolute champion. Cracksman's probably the best horse in Europe, just about. But maybe I'm biased. I think Winks would beat her, Cam. Beat him.
Yeah. I would like for every country to send. There's one in that race last week in Japan also. Maybe they could meet up all in Hong Kong and have something like the Everest going. Each country send 2 horses.
Yeah, I think it's been tried over the years. I think logistically it becomes difficult because when you're travelling horses, Jim, horses go by the wayside. If we saw the Everest, a couple of horses went amiss just less than 2 weeks out from the race. So it's very difficult to lock in runners in certain races over an extended period. So that's the problem. And America tried to do it with the Breeders' Cup, Jim, but again, the tyranny of distance and timing. Like in Australia, we want to stay for our spring carnivals, don't we? We don't want to have best horses travelling for the Breeders' Cup. So that's the issue with
different quarantine requirements as well too, which makes it difficult across jurisdictions. Good call, Cam. Though we do appreciate it. G'day, Doug.
G'day, Ray. G'day, Jimmy.
Morning, Doug.
Morning, Ray. I was going to talk about Mark Carroll and Paul Harrison.
Oh,
good blow up, those two. Yeah.
Good blow up where they fist the fight on the football field. When they go off the field, they fight it again.
Well, that's remember just when remember they used to play, boys, and you used to wait for that Friday night game or Saturday night game when Harrigan versus Carroll would square up again because you knew something was going to happen every time.
Is that a good one, you reckon?
Oh, I reckon it's a great one, Dougie.
You're writing that one down, Jim?
I've got an asterisk here next to you, Doug.
Thanks very much, Jimmy.
Good on you, Doug. Stick around, mate. Keep listening. 1353 53, the open line number. Let's get to Keith's on the line. G'day, Keith.
G'day and morning, boys. How are you?
Really well, mate.
Morning, Keith.
I think my thunder's been stolen, mate. I was at Leichhardt Oval when the young lady jump the fence and give it to Greg Hartley, mate.
Leichhardt, was it?
Yeah, it was the funniest thing I've ever seen. She jumped over the scoreboard side, and Greg stood there with his hands behind his back like a little boy, and she was pointing the finger into his chest. She just give it to him, mate.
You know what, Keith? She probably had some very good points that she made to Greg Hartley, I would have thought.
Well, mate, she was a Parramatta supporter, and at the time, Parramatta was perceived as being on the bad side of Greg Hartley, mate.
Okay. And is Jimmy's recollection right, Keith, that Jeff Gerrard sort of escorted her off the pitch?
He sure did, mate. To come out short and me pay for that lady, I tell you. She gave him the best of all time. But it was just funny. He just stood there like a little schoolboy with his hands behind his back.
He was probably in the wrong, Keith. That's why he did it. He was probably in the wrong.
Well, they all make Keith, mistakes, mate. You know that, Jim.
Yeah. Keith, did it make any difference with any penalties to Parramatta after that?
No.
There you go.
Great call, mate. Actually, there we go. Yeah. Double asterisk. Sorry, Dougie, you're out. Double asterisk next to Keith after that one. And that, of course, led to the great comment from Jack Gibson after they won the comp, because they'd won the comp first time ever for Parramatta, and they'd done it when Greg Hartley was the referee against Newtown in 1981. Right. So that was significant in itself, and therefore the great Jack Gibson got on stage at the auditorium at the old Leagues Club, put the two double victory sign with two fingers and said, "Ding dong, the witch is dead."
Turned on his heels
and walked off the stage.
That's right. Just before we go to our next call, this one's a good one. This is from Rob. And how quickly we forget, what about the Khabib versus McGregor blow-up just the other day in the UFC?
Yeah.
Didn't get much worse than that if you can talk about blow-ups.
Yeah, absolutely.
They wouldn't have jumped the fence into the crowd.
Yeah. Jimmy, Smith and Warner should have got 12 months for blatant stupidity, if not ball tampering. There was no parallels with what other players had been suspended with around international cricket for similar incidents. Mm. So that's the issue I have with it. 1353-53, the open line number. James is there. G'day, James.
Yeah, g'day, fellas. Great show.
Thanks, James. I
watched the Tonga-Australia game last night, and that was just a fantastic sporting experience. And also, too, begs the question, why isn't the international calendar a lot more refined than what it is at the moment? Because I still can't believe that Australia isn't hosting Great Britain in 2019 when they're coming down to play New Zealand and they're playing Papua New Guinea as well. I would have thought common sense would have said, well, let's get the Kangaroos playing Great Britain in Perth when they sort of travel around, and then maybe a game on the Eastern Coast. I'm pretty sure they'd sell out Newcastle and they'd sell out Lang Park, provided the prices are reasonable.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's a good point you make, James. It's the scheduling that makes it difficult. And because it's not a game, rugby league, where you can do it like cricket, Raymond, where you say, right, well, you can play 30 games. No, we'll play 32. We'll throw another couple in there. Player fatigue is a very real issue, and it's something, you know, if they start dropping games back from in the NRL, then yes, you might be able to play more test matches, but then you're probably going to get less money for the NRL games as well from a broadcast point of view. So it's a delicate balancing act.
Yeah, it's so tough because the NRL was so big, isn't it, Jim? And,
yep.
And the international fixtures have to be somehow weaved in around the NRL calendar. In the EPL, they find it difficult, and I dare say NRL is a lot more taxing on the body. So, as you said, having more games for the elite players, that's when you're getting it's just so hard to find an opportunity to put those international fixtures on. But James's call's right, though, Jim. There's got to be a way. What's your solution to it? Because there should be more international football, particularly when you get such extraordinary scenes like last night.
Well, it's going to happen next year, but they should be having games with the Pacific Island nations and New Zealand during the State of Origin period. It's more content. It's different players. You would watch it. People in Australia would be watching those games, and in the end, that makes them attractive from broadcasters and from a fan point of view as well. Good call, James. We do appreciate it. We've got to go to a break, Raymond, but call now if you'd like to be a part of the Event Cinemas quiz. Event Cinemas quiz coming up. By the way, Ray, your player won today. Okay.
Am I? You just throw me under the bus here.
Yeah, I know. You hate odd numbers, so I'll be player two today. So call now. Score update.
24-17, James Smith, a mile in front.
Oh, here we go. So call now, 1353-53 for the Event Cinemas quiz.
You like to hear about sports and racing?
Yes, yes, yes.
We've got the perfect start to your week. The Big Sports Breakfast has cricket, NBL, rugby league, race tips and more.
Oh, yes!
Wake up to the Big Sports Breakfast, Monday morning from 5:30 on Sky Sports Radio.
With 150 years of expertise, the specialist team at HQ Insurance are passionate about horses and privileged to be an integral part of the bloodstock industry. HQ Insurance, the headquarters of Equine Insurance. Find us at hqinsurance.com.au or call 8913 1640.
Are you looking to be a part of positive change for your environment and community? Get on board and make a positive difference with Conservation Volunteers Australia. Our network of 25 offices around Australia and New Zealand are working with local communities to improve their environments with tree plantings, weed clearing, wildlife surveys and loads of other hands-on projects. Contact Conservation Volunteers Australia on 1800 032 501 or visit conservationvolunteers.com.au to find a project near you.
Nobody has your back like family, unless it's the Manson family, I guess, Raymond. But anyway, we move on. Well, that's sort of the live read says that. I'm thinking, well, hang on, and I don't mean David Manson, the former referee. I mean,
I know what you mean. Move on, James. Move on.
So you know, Penrith Mazda will look after you. Get the Mazda 3 Neo Sport, the car of choice. Drive away from $21,490. And get 3 years, 45,000-kilometre free servicing on selected BT50 models. Plus, all new Mazdas get 5 years, unlimited-kilometre warranty. Penrith Mazda, your 2017 Mazda Master Dealer. Keep it in the family. Family-owned and operated at Mulgoa Road at Penrith, MD1-8808.
Sherlock. Taking on Harry Arter, getting his shot away. Sensational effort.
Listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Well, Jimmy, that's extraordinary. How did you weave Penrith Mazda, our good people at Penrith Mazda? We won't ever go there again. Hey, James, Sydney's first 4DX cinema at Events Cinemas George Street is officially open. 4DX is the next step in movie-going evolution. Immerse yourself in the movie with high-tech moving seats that match the on-screen action and special effects, including wind, fog and water. Feel the film. Tickets are on sale now at eventscinemas.com.au.
Apparently that's all Prakash too. That's all he's doing, so well
he's
done, Prakash.
Moving up in the world.
Yeah. Your player one, Raymond.
Okay, and I think it's Michael on the line. Michael, good morning.
Yeah, g'day, mate. How are you going?
Yeah, good. Terrific, Michael. Hey, best of luck. Here we go. Question number one. Which city will the Sydney Kings play the Breakers this afternoon?
Auckland.
Oh, spot on. Yeah, the Kings are 0-2 as well. They need to win this one, Jimmy, to get their season on track. Question number two, Michael. How many Pakistani batsmen were dismissed in the 90s in the second test against Australia? It's multiple choice. A, was it 1, B, 2, or C, 3?
2.
Yeah, it was 3. It was a couple of 94s and a 99, wasn't there, Jim, by memory?
Yeah.
And question number 3, again, multiple choice, Michael. Which one of these Major League Baseball teams have already booked their place in this year's World Series? A, is it the Red Sox? B, the Dodgers? Or C, the Brewers?
I'll go the Dodgers.
Boston Red Sox, they beat the Yankees early doors and they're through already. So you got one there, Michael, so stay on the line. Over to you, James.
Well done, Michael. Guy's on the line. G'day, Guy.
Hey, boys, how are we?
Yeah, really well, mate. You sound like you're up for this.
Mate, you drew the short straw, I tell you, Jimmy.
Why? You're not backing yourself in, Guy?
No, I've been on here once before. I only had to beat none and I didn't get it.
Only way is up, Guy. Yeah. Only way is up, mate.
How many do I have to win by? Well, what do I have to beat?
I would like you to get 2 out of 3 correct here this morning, Guy.
Righto, brother. Make them easy.
All right, here we go. Question one. How was Pakistan's Azhar Ali dismissed in the second innings of the second test against Australia?
Run out.
Oh, yeah. Well
That'll
done,
do.
Sir.
That'll
well
do.
Done, sir. Here we go. Question two. How many runs has Sean Marsh made in total in the two test matches in the UAE against Pakistan? Is it A14, B24, or C34?
We'll go 14.
Oh, it's not that
he's
fight,
pretty good.
Guy. Oh, get out of here, boys.
You talked yourself down, Guy. You've just gone straight through.
I'll just back myself in, I tell you.
Now, listen, Guy, is there an event cinema near you guys up there in Newcastle?
Yeah. Yeah, there would be somewhere, mate. We'll find one.
Yeah, well, mate, worth a trip to Sydney. You just get. Can you imagine what you'd have to wear your Newcastle Knights wet weather jacket too if you came to those motion?
No, mate, I'm not a Knights supporter.
Oh, who you support?
Who do you go for, Guy?
The Mighty Seagulls, mate.
Have they got a coach yet, Jimmy?
Have they been relegated?
No.
No, they did. They're staying up. Are they good?
They should just employ Cliffy. That's who they should.
Oh, what a legend. Yeah. What a legend.
Is Desi signed on the line yet, Jim?
Not yet. Think it'd be an announcement next week. I tell you what, there's still some dominoes to fall there from a coaching point of view. Good on you, Guy, mate. You stay on the line. Well done. As a result of that, we get a score update now. Raymond?
Is it game over now, James? How many weeks to go?
Well, it's 25 points to 17.
It's game over.
My maths is not strong. But I reckon there's 52 Sundays in a year, right?
Yeah.
So if I get to 26, I'm going to be hard to beat.
I think you can almost call it, mate.
Three cartons. Just try not to get ahead of myself. Start thinking about what I'm going to get you to buy me. But anyway.
Here we go, yeah.
We can forget about that until a later date. 1353-53 is the open line number. Let's go back to callers now. They're still on the line. Oh, by the way, there's a few coming in here. This one comes in from Pinnacle. Blow-ups. Tiger Woods' ex-wife when she found out about his extramarital affairs. Yeah. Six iron from memory.
It was across the car, wasn't it? Something. I don't know.
He was trying to reverse out of there, literally. Mick's on the line. G'day, Mick.
G'day, Jim. How are you? G'day, Ray.
Good morning, Mick.
One of the big blobs in Sydney was back in '87. Game at Endeavour Field. Bill Harrigan was referee, and after the game, Bobby Fulton blew up about a cement truck running over someone.
Endeavour
Field.
Very
good.
There you go.
And,
it's the Sharkies.
Sharks won the game. I think Des Hasler got time in the bin. I think he must have forgot to say sorry when he tackled someone. He used to do that a bit.
Yeah, he did.
That was a good one. And then the bloke who used to blow up every game just about was John McEnroe.
Yeah, no, he's hard to beat.
He was very deliberate, Mick. It wasn't an accident.
No.
It was to put the opposition off. I read a book by a bloke named Bill Scanlon, who was a former top 10 player, played against McEnroe in that McEnroe era, and he talked about how deliberate the blow-ups were from McEnroe just to change momentum in games, and that many times players followed him into the locker room and belted him. Great player, yeah, absolutely, belted him just because they were upset because he put on a tantrum, changed the momentum of the game when they were on top and ended up losing to the great JP McEnroe.
Yeah. Do you reckon that's what Serena was trying to do in the US Open final?
I think she lost a bit of control, Serena. I think she was overly emotional. A little bit like you get, Raymond, sometimes when after the quiz loss. So, we've seen it before. We'll see it again, no doubt. Rod's on the line. G'day, Rod.
He's a hard man.
He's a hard man, isn't he?
He is, Roddy. It's going on nine years, right? It's extraordinary.
You're right, Jimmy. You're right, brother. Listen, that bloke just told me Bob Fulton won, but I just got the brain thinking, so we'll go a bit of motor racing.
Yeah?
What about Marcus Ambrose and Greg Murphy at Bathurst?
Oh, they went toe-to-toe, didn't they, Rod, by memory?
They got out of the car after a crash. Yeah. Remember?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And Mark...
Helmets were on.
Mark Scaife and Russell Ingall.
Was that the one on the track? Was that on the track?
On the track, yeah. And Scaife's out there with his helmet stand on the side of the road. Lucky he didn't lose control there because there's no more Mark Scaife.
That's right.
And the third one, that's rugby league. Again, happened at Shark Park. When the great man, The great Gus was sent off by referee at Shark Park.
That was Billy Harrigan as well.
Yeah, banished to the bin.
The vision shows him in a very stylish Penrith Panthers tracksuit at the time. So
that's right.
And the fourth one.
Oh, here we go, yes.
Me, every time someone scores a try against me Sharkies, I go off to lunch.
Fair enough, Rod. Fair enough. Good on you, mate. Some good nominations there. Keep them coming in. 1353 is the open line number. Just before we go to callers on the line, Boomers v Philippines. Basket brawl. That's from Neil.
Yeah, gee, that did go off, didn't it?
Yeah, that's as bad as you see. I know there was a mention of it earlier, but this is a good one. Hi, boys. Blobs. DK, Lily and Jarvid, me and Dad. It was bat v ball at 20 yards with bat literally raised in anger. That's from Eagle Pete.
Remember DK tried to kick him? Remember that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He kicked him.
And then Jarvid came with a... Who was the umpire got in between them?
I'm going to say Tony...
Him too.
Tony Crafter. I don't think
you're right.
Remember, you used to know the names of every umpire when you were a kid.
Dickie
Bird was a legendary one, but you used to. Anyway, here's another one. Most critics have made mention of our batting woes, but surely our ability to put a side away needs to be addressed. How do you have a team 5 for 57 first innings and get beaten by 400? Has there ever been a bigger turnaround? That's from the ankle.
Yeah, well, we haven't got our best attack there, really. We talk about not having Smith and Warner. We've only got one third of our pace trio over there, Jim. And so, and Stark was he over bowled? I don't think he was over bowled, but.
Well, with due respect to Peter Siddle, mate.
I know.
None for a none for.
He was brought over there just to hold up one end, wasn't he? I think so.
Yeah, I'm not sure he did that. 1353 is the open line number. Steve's on the line, wants to have a chat. G'day, Steve.
How are you?
Yeah, really well,
morning,
mate.
Steve.
You're doing a great job there.
Thanks, Steve.
Compliments will get you everywhere, Steve.
Okay. What about the underarm of Trevor Trapple?
Oh, political dynamite, that one, wasn't it? They still talk about it today, Jimmy.
Yeah.
1980, wasn't it?
Yeah. That's right.
The old underarm and poor old Trevor Chappell's had to carry that stain, as has Greg Chappell. And remember he spoke about it, Jim, and how it sort of... He had to come to terms with it, and because
it was affecting
his life.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good one, Steve. Yeah, it caused for the Prime Minister of New Zealand at the time. Was it Muldoon who got involved and had a response to it as well? And it's given poor old Kiwi something to talk about for the last 40 years, hasn't it? Just about the underarm delivery.
Forget it.
No, they won't. They won't. No. Hey, here's a SMS that's come in here too, Raymond. All the owners of Pecans blowing up Deluxe yesterday after Shazzy Lee kicks her at the barrier. Cheers, boys. That's from Fitzy.
Yeah, had to be scratched at the barrier, Jim. So
disappointment for Joe Pride and the callers. Yeah, absolutely. 1353 is the open line number. Let's go to callers on the line there. Biggles is there. G'day, Biggles.
Hi, guys.
What do you got Biggles for us, mate?
Right, well, in the late 60s, early 70s, I used to be the production manager for the South Sydney Leisure Club magazine. It was Keith Whitfield, right?
Yeah.
Right.
And we used to have the Monday night fight nights out there, right?
Yep.
And they were very, very popular with all the crowds. And Harry McQuillan, Ernie McQuillan.
Mm. Ernie McQuillan,
and,
yeah.
And they used to supply most of the fighters. And Clarence the Clocker was in the business too, trying to get a lot of fighters and become an organizer. Anyway, one night they were both at the club, and Ernie got the shits with Clarence for pitching all his fighters, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he pulled him on, right, at the after fight get together where they had a sit down, or not a sit down, like a smorgasbord for all the people involved, right? Mm-hmm. Anyway, they started doing a bit of pushing and shoving. Ernie landed a good left hook on Clarence into the all the food tables, and there they were scrabbling around in this thing for about 5 minutes, mate.
What year do you reckon it was, Biggles?
Probably about in the 60, 68, 69, 71 era.
There you go. Fantastic. Wow. That's a walk down memory lane there, Biggles.
Yeah.
Nice one. Nice one. Very good. 13, 53, 53 Yeah. Hey, here's a couple of ones. Surely only one can be considered. Ooh, Cantona with his flying roundhouse when playing for Man United. That comes in from Mitch from Tamworth. And here's one from Jack from Old Bar. If Toobs doesn't get the gold medal, then there'll have to be an investigation.
Come on, that's ridiculous.
Oh, nice one, Jack from Old Bar. There you go. Let's go back to the callers. Kevin's on the line. G'day, Kev.
G'day, fellas. How are you?
Really well, mate. What do you got for us?
I'll go back to the Olympics, mate. I think it was a water polo match, I think, with the Russians and the USA, I think. There was blood in the pool. And
I reckon it was Melbourne 56, and I reckon it was Russia versus Hungary, because there was all that issue happening.
I know it was a water polo one, but that caused a bit of blood.
It was front page. Yep, front page news around the world, that, Kev. It was huge at the time. I don't know who won it, Jim. Did Russia win?
I've got a feeling Hungary won, but I'll check that, Raymond. But, yeah, I think Russia had just invaded Hungary.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Something like that. And a lot of bad blood, obviously.
Well, fair enough.
Voice of words, but...
Yeah.
Yeah. And, yeah, that was a really vicious one. This is a good one. This is from Pinnacle. Chautauqua. The silent blow-up. Okay. He had enough of it.
Yeah, fair enough. That's it. I'm not running.
Hungary
not?
Won 4-0. There you go. Hungary 4-0, Jim. So...
Hungary 4-0. Hungary 4-0. Mm. Though, good on you. That was a great nomination, Kev. A little bit left field. But we like them. Good on you, mate. Yeah, good on you.
Thanks, Kev.
As we say, compliments will get you everywhere. 135353 is the open line number. We've got this one coming in about, where is it here? Morning, boys. Blow-ups. How about the media's response to the Honey Badger's sidestep and rightful decision not to choose a partner? Cheers, Manly Man Albie. Well, I suppose you're right. You didn't.
Oh,
dear. And there was a blow-up. Anyway, he knows what he's doing, Honey Badger, or we think he does. We know what we're doing too next hour, Raymond. Our legend of the game is the legendary
Can't wait for this.
Shane Gould. We'll get a sports update.